Last week, if you missed last weekend, what can I say? Mama used to say, shame on you. Pastor Dale and Denise handed out baskets full of spiritual gold. And you missed out if you weren't here. What a great time in the Word we had with them, from encouragement to encouragement and more encouragement. But he said many things, but last week he told you all one thing that really meant a lot to me. And I feel comfortable speaking for Jim and Ryan and Dan. And that is, whenever we stand up here and teach and bring forth the Word of God, we need your prayers. Pray for us. Because you do not know and will ever know and realize many times the spiritual battles that we experience preparing and coming up here. The battles, the spiritual battles, and the lies that come from Satan. This morning, about daylight, I was sitting in my chair, and one such thing come upon, and I'm pondering, and it was an attack from Satan. And as Satan was lying to me, my telephone goes bing. And not unusual, but here was a text from Dale. And I'm cheering you on, Bob, as you minister tonight and praying for you. And he sent me some scripture. And guess what? It was just what I needed. Exactly what I needed. In 1 Corinthians, I'm going to share it with you before we get into our lesson tonight. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in the first 5 verses. And once again, I feel real comfortable saying I'm speaking for your pastor and your elders. Because probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, as he fought principalities and powers, and as he was discouraged and as Satan had lied to him so many times, these are the words that he wrote. And he says, "When I come to you, brothers and sisters, proclaiming to you the testimony of God concerning salvation through Christ, I did not come with superiority of speech and wisdom, and no lofty words of eloquence or philosophy as a Greek orator might do. But I made the decision to know nothing, that is, to forego philosophical or theological discussing regarding the things and opinions, while among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and the meaning of His redemption and the substitutionary death and His resurrection. I come to you in a state of weakness and fear and great trembling. And my message and my preaching were not of persuasive words and wisdom, using clever rhetoric, but they were delivered and demonstrated of the Holy Spirit operating through me, and of His power stirring the minds of listeners and persuading them, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom and rhetoric of men, but onto the power of God." Amen. What words of encouragement, right straight from God Almighty and His Holy Spirit. So once again, we plead as we stand here before you that you pray for us and lift us up. If you recall, I was going to say weeks ago, but months ago, I had told you we were going to start a series of Knowing God's Secrets. You remember that? And we first one we spent some time in is the secret of being a saint. And then we spent a lot of time in the secret of behaving like a saint. We're going to go on to another one tonight. And it's going to be at least two nights, as I'm not even going to begin to finish tonight. And this is the secret of constant joyfulness. Joy. Well, you know, we could look at this probably several different ways. And there's a lot of things in the Word of God that gives us joy. And a lot of things in our life that brings joyfulness. And we want to look at these things tonight and the next time that I'm with you. But I want to start in the basics. And one of the words is probably most overlooked, one of the most overlooked words in our English language, and that is love. And we use it in connection of a lot of different things. Usually in the evening time, I say, I love ice cream. Amen. We could say, well, and I know some of y'all do too. you know, we could say, well, I love sceneries, or I love sunsets, and I love babies, and I love a good love story. We can use it in a thousand different ways. And the Bible tells us that God is love, but, you know, the same word in English, the meaning differs tremendously. The word love is a key word in John's epistles. But the word in the original is very different in the New Testament. There's four words in the Greek. Now, you'll hear teachers and pastors many times refer to the Greek. And we do this. It's not the Greek language, the modern Greek that's spoken today in Greece, but it's they call it Koine Greek. It's an ancient Greek, but the reason why is, well, the scriptures were written, but many times in the Greek language, for one of our words, there's several other Greek words which defines the word a lot more efficient. And the tenses there will tell us a whole lot when we're in Scripture. And we've done this many times with you, that you know, that the word means now or once and for all. And a lot of times we lose some of this in the English language. Now, the word love in the Greek is, there's four different words for that word. It depends on how you use it. And the first one, and my pronunciation is probably not good, and I've heard it pronounced different ways, but it's E-R-O-S. And this is the love that a man has for a woman, or a passionate love. And that Greek word is never used in the New Testament. But another word, Greek word for love that's used in there is philo. It's P-H-I-L-O-S. And this is a warm love for the nearest and dearest, and it tells of the feelings of the heart. Or it's also called a brotherly love. I love y'all. That word would be used. Another word is S-T-O-R-G-E. And this is an affection expressed in a joy between a love between parents and children. Or parents, grandparents and children. It's a different kind of love. And the Greek would use that word referring, and you would know what kind of love that the speaker or the author is writing about. And then fourthly, the one that we're probably most familiar with is agape. A-G-A-P-E. And this is the great Christian word used and developed in the New Testament, and it speaks of benevolence. But now, this is really important here. That word, agape, agape love, when the New Testament talks about this kind of love, this is not an emotion. Okay? We seem to associate love with emotions. The writers in the New Testament, when they use this word, is not talking about emotions. And this is real important that we understand this word, that agape is the outstanding revealed characteristic of God. It is a characteristic of God, not an emotion. 1 John. Let's turn over to 1 John. We'll be giving you several scriptures tonight. In the 4th chapter, in verse 8, and here again, I'm reading all from the Amplified. It says in verse 8, 1 John 4th chapter, "The one who does not love and has not become acquainted with God does not and never did know Him. For God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of His nature." And I like the way the Amplified puts that. It's an attribute of His nature. The very being of God is love. God always loves. God does not just love, He is love. God not only loves, He is love. And God never has to work up an emotion. God is not a God of emotions. And this is one of the areas that we as people, human beings, go wrong. Especially in our faith. In our Christian life, we want to be guided so many times by emotions. And God never has to work up an emotion. God's love in the scriptures we see many times is the givingness of God. And stop and think about this. Love is a characteristic of God, so love is the givingness of God. And the same, well, we see this in John 3:16, "For God so loved that He gave." Very popular one. But also in the 4th chapter, the next verse, verse 9, He says, "By this the love of God was displayed in us." Now the love of God was displayed in you. How does God's love be displayed in you? Holy Spirit? Jesus. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God, is Jesus, is God's Spirit. The love of God, that givingness of God, don't watch this, the givingness of God, God gave Himself to be displayed in you. The greatest testimony that you could ever give is not a word, but when somebody says, "I see Jesus in him." Fulfillment of that scripture right there. It's the greatest testimony that you can give to your family and your friends and your neighbors is, "I see Christ in them." They may use different words than that. They might even call you the biggest holy roller they ever seen. Doesn't matter. They see that you're different, and you're different because Christ lives in you. Then he goes on and he says, displayed in us that God has sent His one and only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique and the only one of His kind, into the world so that we might live through Him. You know, we're the only religion in the world, if you want to call it a religion, that God stepped out of heaven and stepped into man to live where he was in the very beginning before Adam fell. And God did this when he gave us his Son. He gave. He gave because he loved us. He loved us and he gave to us. And he gave, what did he give? He gave himself to us. All of himself to you and I. Even to the point that verse says that he might live through him. That you and I can live through him. That takes a lot of burden off of me when I begin to realize that my life is lived through him. Jim, somewhere. So the epistles of John, there's three letters that John wrote, and he uses the word agape. 18 times he uses it in a noun form. 24 times the verb form, which is apao. 42 times in all in 111 verses. This remarkable emphasis carries a special implication. John thought love, it must have been very important. Must have been very important to him. You see, the emphasis on the word and God, that God's word, that God's love reveals his awareness in the lack of those days. When John wrote this book, he was aware that love was extremely lacked and love wasn't in very much in society. Now, and it was important to him. I mean, he went on in Revelation, the second chapter, in verses 2 and 3, and he writes, when he wrote the Revelation, that you have left your first love. And this is one of the things that we lack in our society today. Oh, there's all kinds of charities out there, and they give away stuff, and many times all it does is enable people to get worse. But love is just not prevalent in people's life. And if you don't believe me, start at the south end of Pasco County and drive up 19 to the north end and see how many times you get run off the road, hit, flipped off. Oh, that's a Hawaiian love song sign, wasn't it? And you didn't get that. Okay. Anyway, there's a story about the preacher's wife come home, told him about the bird and the middle finger, and that she called it the Hawaiian love sign. I'm off on a bunny trail. But love is not out there. Those of you that drive, yes, it run off the road all the time. People, no consideration, no love. And this is what's in our society today. Because they lack the person of God. And God is love. You know, this also is seen beautifully, this verse. If you go back to chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2. And it says in verses 1 and 2, it says, "What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us." Oh, this quality of love goes beyond emotions. That God gave himself. You know, I said this morning, about things to remember. Here God himself, Jesus, the word tells us that Jesus made the worlds, he made the universe. In a way he did, he just spoke it to be. Just spoke the worlds into being, but yet, when it comes to you and I, and for our redemption and our salvation, God had to die and shed His blood for you and I. That's the givingness of God. That's a quality of love that the world does not know and will never know. He goes on to say, an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. You and I are children of God because of the givingness and the love of God. We're His children, with all the rights that are associated with that, and our inheritance that we have in Him, and His inheritance that He has in you and I. No wonder John says it, what an incredible quality of love there is. There's no other love in the whole world that can match it. He goes on and says, and so we are for this reason, and the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are even here and now children of God, and it is not yet made clear what we will be after His coming. We know that when He comes and is revealed, we will, I love this, we will, as His children, be like Him. Because we will see Him just as He is in His glory. Now, do you understand that? I don't. I don't understand what God looks like in His glory. I don't understand what Christ looks like in His glory. And I don't understand what you and I will look like in His glory. But the Word of God tells us that we will be like Him. What a quality of love. What a God of givingness that we have. Some of these things, like, you know, when we stop and think about them, they just fully blow my mind. And can you understand and see now when John uses this word agape, it's not an emotion. Nothing to do with emotions, but it has everything to do with the givingness of God and what He's done for you and I. And many times it just goes over our head, straight over our head. But John, in spite of his 90 years, he was still overwhelmed at the amazing miracle of God's love that He had for us. Now, the purpose of God's love is to bring you and I into a relationship with Him. This is the purpose of God's love, to bring you and I into a relationship to Him. And this very verses that we read here go on to tell us that what we should be, that we should be called the sons of God. It goes on to tell us what we are. We are the children of God. And what we shall be, we will one day be like Him. That's what this verse tells us. Now, how does God bring us into a love relationship? Well, let's begin by turning over into Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. God uses many methods to bring us into a love relationship to Him. But let's look and see what Jesus tells us. Matthew 22, 36, 37, 38. Jesus was asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied to him. Now, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:5. Okay? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Wow. That's how Jesus begins, how you begin a loving relationship with Him, is to love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything that you are. And this is the first commandment. I think love is a little bit important. You see the importance here? You see, God pursues each one of us in order to have a love relationship with Him. He pursues you. He wants to have that kind of a deep love relationship with you personally, with each and every one of us. If we could only realize that God is inviting us into a loving, a transforming, a forgiving, an empowered relationship with Him, we'd be changed individuals. God pursues and God wants to have that kind of a relationship with us. Not only does He want to have a love relationship with us, God created you and me for an intimate fellowship with Him. Do you realize that you and I, as human beings, we were created, and the only creation of God was ever created to house the Creator? When God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, God lived and dwelled in them. That's how much He loved His creation. And then this thing called sin entered in, and God left. The light went out. But God didn't stop. Because He loved us so much, only His blood could be shed to get Him back into man where He was in the very beginning. And that's the heart of salvation. That's the heart of the gospel. Not to get you out of hell and into heaven, but to get God out of heaven and into man. That's the heart of the gospel. I'm so happy that that does get me out of hell. I remember as a 12-year-old, I knew nothing but except for I didn't want to go to hell. And I says, I'll accept Jesus. Simply because I said, I don't want to go to hell. And I believed it. I believed what the Word said. It was a real and literal place, and I didn't want to go there. I didn't know anything else but that. That's all I knew. And I said, yes. I'm just a dumb 12-year-old. Or 11, somewhere in there. Whatever your age is when you're in 6th grade, Dan, you may know more than me. But around in there. A life that is spent walking closely with the Lord is both exciting and rewarding. You know, God doesn't want you and I to miss out on the life that He intended for us to live for eternity. He don't want us to miss out on that. But the problem is that sin causes us to follow our own selfish desires. In doing so, we reject God's best for our lives. So God had to take the initiative to draw us closer to Him. And when He draws us close to Him in a love relationship, that love relationship is not a one-sided relationship. And as you and I accept His love and His forgiveness, He wants us to know Him and worship Him. But most of all, as Jesus said in Matthew 22, He wants you to love Him. In John, the Gospel of John, in the 14th chapter, John 14, verses 18, it's through 21. John says, well, Jesus said, and John writes, he says, Jesus said, and look at this as God's love. Look at this as God's givingness to you and I. See this as a characteristic of God, not an emotion. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. He did, didn't he? Came back in the form of the Holy Spirit. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live in you, and you will live in me also. Wow. This excites me. God, a promise of God Himself. The world, the people around, they don't see Him. They don't know Him. But you and I, as a child of God, God lives in you, and you are in Him. He says that on that day, when that time comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me, and whosoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him, and I will make myself real to him. This takes this givingness of God to a whole new level. The love and the givingness of God. God pursuing a love relationship with you and I, but here's the but. If you really love Him, you're going to keep His commandments. Now, He didn't say, if you really love me, you should keep my commandments. He doesn't say, if you really love me, when you get a chance, keep my commandments. He didn't say that, did He, Vern? Mm-mm. He said, if you really love me, you're going to do what I tell you. This is the givingness of God. Does this not sound like joy in your heart? Are you not joyful over this? And we hadn't even got to joyfulness yet. Because this kind of love and this kind of a love relationship with God brings joy in our life. And we know and realize this. It should be a continuous joyfulness in our life. But you must keep His commandments. The word is called obedience. Your love for God and your obedience to His command goes hand in hand. Back up, in that same chapter, back up to verse 15. And here again, I love the way the Amplified puts it. If you really love me, if you really do, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, if you really love me, now that's more than just a lip service. That's more than just a saying and a talking. But if you really love me, you will keep, there's that word, and obey my commandments. Obey. When you obey Jesus, you are demonstrating that you trust Him. You have to trust Him in order to obey Him. If you obey Him, you have to trust Him. You see, obedience is the outward expression of your love for God. The outward expression for your love for Him. Jesus set the example. In that same chapter, in verse 31, He goes on to tell us, He says, but so that the world may know without any doubt that I love the Father and do exactly as the Father has commanded, commanded me, and act in full agreement with him. Get up and let's go from here. Jesus set the example by completely total dependence and obedience to the Father. You and I, if we really love Him, are going to be completely dependent and obedient to Him, to Jesus. And when we are completely obedient to Him, I promise you, I guarantee you with my life that this will bring the greatest joy in your life that this old brain could ever comprehend. It just does not get any gooder, folks. Complete surrender, complete love, complete obedience if you really love Him. Because everything that God is, everything that Christ is yours. It's yours. Wow. All right, we'll continue next week. Let's pray. Father, so many times we thanked you and we're going to continue to thank you for your word. We're going to thank you for your love. We're going to thank you for your written word, your love that you've given us. We're going to thank you for the Holy Spirit that opens up our minds and gives us understanding of what you have told us in your word. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your love that you've given us. And may we honor and glorify you with our obedience in loving you back. In Christ's name, amen.